It's important to note that in the Athira study, they looked at patients who were brentuximab vedotin naive, but risk factors included patients who had refractory disease, patients who relapsed within 1 year, and extranodal involvement. And he had at least two of these risk factors. And we discussed the Athira findings with him. And given his refractory nature, he was interested in receiving maintenance therapy with brentuximab vedotin. So to briefly touch on the Athira study, this was a study of over 300 patients that randomized patients post-autologous stem cell transplant who had not achieved a complete remission or had disease that had high-risk features, as I mentioned earlier, with disease which had relapsed within 1 year, had extranodal involvement, or primary refractory disease. To be honest with you, I had some concerns about the study when it was developed and the initial readouts came into play. A fair proportion of patients went into transplant with less than a complete remission. And this was confusing in a way to us as investigators, because one can imagine that a proportion of patients on the other end of transplant may have had residual disease, which then raises the question of how to interpret what the data will show. The patients post-transplant were not imaged uniformly before receiving brentuximab vedotin for a variety of logistical reasons. So it's impossible to know how many patients had disease after transplant and how many did not. But certainly patients with disease after transplant would be much more consistent with the patients you would see on the phase 2 study, essentially refractory to transplant or progressed post-transplant, rather than in the Athira study where you're looking at trying to improve cure rates for patients with brentuximab vedotin in this setting. That being said, the difference in progression-free survival in the Athira study, which was initially presented with 2 years and now 5 years, continues to maintain a significant difference in relapse and progression-free survival in favor of the arm of patients who got brentuximab vedotin of anywhere between 15 to 20%. That's also important to note. There's no overall survival benefit in that study, but that's not entirely unexpected, as the vast majority of patients who were on the placebo arm upon progression likely received and did receive brentuximab vedotin.
So what's this patient's current situation?
So he elected to receive brentuximab vedotin maintenance post-autologous stem cell transplant, and he is currently on his ninth cycle of treatment. He has had difficulty with neuropathy, and that is not entirely surprising. Post-autologous stem cell transplant in 1 year of therapy with brentuximab vedotin as part of this study did have a higher incidence of peripheral neuropathy. That being said, he remains in remission at this time and is doing well.
So I was going to ask you, as you were presenting the case, when you first talked about him relapsing, what your strategy is nowadays in terms of bridge to transplant, and particularly in a patient like this with a pretty early relapse, are there situations where you use novel agents, either bevacizumab, checkpoint inhibitor, or both as a bridge to transplant?
Yeah, so patients who have an early relapse within 1 year, I tend to favor using novel agents, and there's a variety of strategies in which to do that. Brentuximab vedotin has been combined with chemotherapy, for example, with ICE in both a lead-in period as well as in a combination, as well as with other drugs such as bendamustine. And these have shown very good results in terms of achieving a complete remission. Alex Herrera has published a paper and presented at ASH the data in combining brentuximab vedotin and checkpoint inhibitor, in this case, nivolumab, in patients with first salvage. And we participated in that study. And the response rates and complete response rates were consistent with what we would expect with chemotherapy, but also with a very manageable side effect profile, I think, in comparison to chemotherapy as well. So in patients who have essentially refractory disease, I favor incorporating these novel agents and often consider bendamustine brentuximab combinations or brentuximab nivolumab combinations if possible, either ideally on study, but if not on study, even potentially as clinical standard care.